Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
So WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Big games, big events, always better at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. And our world champion Philadelphia Eagles beat writer, the Eagles Insider of the Year in 2025, Elliot Shore Parks, joins us of the Go Birds podcast. What up, ESP?
Man, it's crazy. It's already been a week since you unfairly stripped me of the belt.
Feels like I didn't strip you.
Yeah.
The commissioner stripped you.
But, yeah. But I will say, if anyone has to have it, I'm happy Ike does.
So hopefully.
Oh, you know, sucking up to Ike. Yeah, exactly. So if anyone can have it, we all know Ike deserves it.
I got to agree with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Is my mic on?
As the two Eagles,
I can barely hear Ike.
Experts on
can
the
you
station,
turn Ike
you know?
Up? Let's see if I can hear Ike now.
Check, check. There we go. All right, there we go. I was going to say two football minds respecting
exactly,
each other.
Exactly, yeah. We'll just pass the belt back and forth.
Yep. Let me ask you this, Elliot. Do you think you've done anything to get the belt from Ike? Because we're rewarding it at 4:30 today. We'll see if Ike keeps it. Have you done anything this week, do you think, to get it away from him?
Probably not. No, I feel like I've had a relaxing week. Yeah, it's been fine. I can't dominate every week, you know. There are 52 of them. So
I will say your cockiness has gone up since Eagles Insider.
Really,
oh, it's obnoxious.
Yeah. Yeah. So, when you win, you feel good. So
that Ojulari,
hopefully the Eagles handle it better.
The Ojulari scoop at the wire.
Oh, it's like
it's the dagger.
It's the dagger.
It's the dagger.
It's the dagger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll gladly take that. You're the only one that compares it to that stupid Embiid shot against the Raptors. So I think
because the Embiid shot
you cried
won the
that
game.
Night, Elliot.
The Embiid shot won the game.
Yeah, it did. It won a meaningless playoff game.
It won the game.
That.
Well, the dagger didn't win any game. So
it won the Super Bowl. So
no, the Super Bowl
no, it didn't.
Won.
No, it didn't.
The Super Bowl already was won at that point.
So why did the head coach say it's over if we throw it?
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, obviously they didn't think it was over.
They knew it was over. Will you stop it?
I don't think they did.
Do they win the Super Bowl without the dagger, Elliot, and they'd run the ball a couple times,
yeah,
drill some clock? I mean, come on.
Do the Sixers beat the Raptors without that Embiid shot?
No.
You think they lose the series? You think they lose the series?
Well, by the way, they lost two in a row after
one?
That.
This is game one or two.
Then say you think they'd lose the series.
I don't know if they would have lost. They certainly would have lost the game.
Yeah, all right, fine. It would have been one game.
The shot was at the end of the game, Elliot.
It's like losing the second quarter in an NFL game. It's meaningful, but it's not deciding factor.
A game in the playoffs?
Yeah, I would say losing one playoff game in a series is not comparable to losing an NFL playoff game.
It's correct. Also not comparable to losing one quarter.
I don't know, actually.
No,
if
you
that's
lose
completely
it,
true.
Elliot.
Well, there's only four quarters in a playoff
game.
We're not
talking about this. But that doesn't work because they are full games.
I get that, right.
There's fewer NFL games doesn't make one game not a game. It's still a game.
All right, fine. That was a great moment by Embiid. Probably his best. I'll give you that.
All right.
A signature moment.
All right.
Yeah, signature moment.
Well, and it's great for Jalen for a signature moment to be a meaningless play.
In the Super Bowl, correct.
Yes, yeah. in the Super Bowl, but it'll be in this place.
That does make it a little harder.
So, Elliot, why don't you tell us what you... So, the Eagles signed a wide receiver yesterday.
They did.
Who does have, like, some traits, I guess, that are I'm not being... I'm not trying to talk it down. Terrace Marshall Jr., why don't you tell us what you know about him?
Yeah, so I think he checks a lot of the boxes of other guys they've signed this offseason. He's young. He's not 25 yet. He's not good. Yeah, he's former draft pedigree, 59th overall pick. I really liked him coming out of LSU. LSU has produced a ton of really good receivers recently. He had big numbers in college. So I really liked him as a draft prospect. To me, it's a little like Kenyon Green. Like, Kenyon Green has not been a good NFL player. But it depends how much you think the situation impacted that. Like, Terrace Marshall has been in Carolina and the Raiders is essentially where he spent most of his career. And I don't think either of those are situations where receivers, you can probably get a good read on them.
Right.
So not a ton of money, not a guarantee to make the roster, but I think a smart signing for a team that, you know, needs to take somewhat shots in the dark on potential guys.
Well, let me ask you this, and then I would like to know your opinion on it. Do we all just assume that Jahan Dotson is the number three wide receiver
exactly,
next year?
It's exactly where I was going to go with this. And yeah. I'll take it a step further. Like, is Jahan Dotson a trade candidate? Because
no.
All right. Well, here would be why I think he could be. If you look at their roster right now, obviously AJ and Devontae are going to make the team unless Jack puts out a Twitter poll. But they're gonna be on the team, right? So Johnny Wilson, I think, is basically a lock to make the team. And then there's Anaya Smith, who I think will compete. Jahan Dotson is a free agent after this year. They're not going to pay him, I don't think. So I just wonder if they get to training camp and Terrace Marshall is outplaying Jahan Dotson, which I don't think is crazy. It's maybe unlikely, but I don't think it's crazy.
Well, you could say the same thing about Jahan Dotson that you're saying about Terrace Marshall.
Yeah.
He hadn't been on two teams, but he was a well-thought-of player that was not in an atmosphere where he could thrive.
Correct.
And blah, blah,
but,
blah.
But he's been here for a year.
Yes, I agree.
And he did make two big plays in the playoffs, for sure. But he also, I don't think, really was what they expected as that number three receiver, right? Now, the issue is they traded a third-round pick for him. So
exactly.
it's going to be hard to recoup that value. But the benefit of winning the Super Bowl is, let's say you get a fifth for Jahan Dotson and you feel really good about Terrace Marshall. Maybe they draft a wide receiver. I just don't know if there's that same outcry about trading him for lesser value when he just, in theory, helps you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, believe me, don't mistake me saying I don't think he's a trade candidate as if I believe he's a lock to make the roster.
Right.
I just don't think he has any value
to trade.
Like, who the hell's going to trade for Jahan Dotson for what?
Well, and I think the other thing you have to think about with the Eagles, with what they traded for him, is they got caught.
Yes.
They thought they were going to have one of their guys be good enough to be the third wide receiver. They got into camp and they realized that it wasn't good enough.
Yep.
And like a team got the better of them probably a little bit in that.
And
trade.
They were still at that time wanting to be a passing
throwing team. Right.
Because that's the only reason you give up a third round pick for a third receiver.
Right.
But you plan on throwing the ball an awful lot.
So I agree with all that, but that's my argument as to why I'm not sure I think he's a lock to make the to
Oh,
be
no,
on the
I
team.
Agree.
Because if, no, well, what I'm saying is I think Terrace Marshall, if he outplays him, Dotson could be expendable.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Only thing I was saying is I don't think he has value in a trade. He would just get cut. Yeah,
well,
I think they brought him here. Listen, Jahan Dotson, if he's here, he's here. If he's not, he's not. Like, we barely use the two receivers we have, let alone. I'm not really all that locked in on who's going to be our third receiver.
Well, the thing that I always think about with the third receiver, which is why I think I was worried about it last year, is not so much if the other guys are healthy, is that if Devontae Smith or AJ, and AJ Brown's had knee issues, you know, not that those guys are going to be that guy,
sure,
but that we can have two wide receivers.
A competent number two wide receiver.
If one of the top two goes out.
But here's the other thing. When that is happening, and we've seen that, Jalen is comfortable throwing the ball to certain people.
Right.
So it's not like when AJ missed his three games, Jahan Dotson stepped up and became.
Or even Devontae.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Yeah.
Vice versa. When Devontae was out, the other guy doesn't step up. Jalen just goes to the other. He goes either Devontae or AJ, whichever one is there, more frequently.
Right.
Right? So.
Yeah,
so,
now in the playoffs, I throw it to Dotson a little more, but I agree with
I
you.
I like to pick up a Marshall. It's one of those low-risk, high-reward type of things. Didn't cost him anything. Maybe he thrives here.
Maybe. That,
yeah,
and,
I agree.
And that's
yeah.
been – basically every signing this offseason, except for Adoree Jackson. Yeah. Everybody's been, hey, this guy's shown a flash. Yep. Let's see if there's anything there. So we started the show, Elliot, today talking about the idea of them trading up. And trading up, not one or two positions, but maybe in the teens, late teens, something like that. Do you think, if it were you, are you giving significant assets to move up like that, or given the amount of holes of holes they have? Jack, stop. The amount of holes they have, do you think holding on to the amount of picks they have is more important?
No, I would be into trading up, and I think it makes sense to trade up. The way this roster is built right now, they have to find great players on cost-controlled deals. Right now, they have some with, like, Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, Jalix Hunt, but those change quickly. Like, a year from now, Jalen Carter won't be. Nolan Smith probably won't be. So, for me, the point of this draft is not to end up with, like, three or four contributing players. I think they're better off if they find someone that can be a stud for them at a cheap deal. And I think you're more likely to find that if you trade, let's say, your third-round pick and you move up 10 spots, or probably more than that, like your second-round pick and you get into the high teens.
Yeah, I was
going
to say. They're not moving up 10 spots with a third-round pick.
Right, so I think their second-round pick gets them up to around 19 or 20. So obviously you see how the draft board falls, but I think this team is in need of a stud on a rookie deal, and you're just more likely to get that the higher you draft.
And would you, Jack had talked about trading up for Tyler Warren. Would you trade up that high for a tight end?
I would not. I just don't think he's an important enough player. I like other tight ends in this draft that you can get later on. So I wouldn't, but I would trade up for like Malachi Starks. I would trade up for Nick Scowerton.
For a safety? Like, why are we trading up for a safety? That's what I can't figure out. I would much rather trade for a tight end than a safety.
So I would not. A safety is a far more important position on this team because the tight end, we just talked about they don't throw it to the third receiver. They don't really throw it to the tight end a ton. Goddard made big plays for them, but it's not like he's a 1,000-yard contributor. A safety is going to be out there every single play on defense playing an important position. And if you add Malachi Starks to this defense, I mean, look at that where that secondary is at. You can feel really good about the youth and future of that secondary. So I would much rather have an impact safety than an impact tight end.
Have you taken the L on Brock Bowers yet? Or are we, this is...
Well, it sounds like you just took the L on that argument since you had no counter.
Whoa!
But yes,
this Eagles inside of the year is the worst thing that's ever happened this season.
I just want to remind everybody, Tim McManus got more first place votes.
Yeah, not more total votes, but Tim's a great reporter. I have a ton of respect for Tim.
There it is.
Yeah, but Brock Bowers, yeah. But again, like Brock Bowers was awesome last year. How many games did the Raiders win?
It's not his fault.
No, it's not his fault, but the point I'm making is...
I said he was a Hall of Famer.
Okay. I mean, sure, you can have the Brock Bowers.
So. Well, listen, we can argue about the Embiid shot from 7 years ago.
But wait, what's Tyler Warren doing for this team that's so impactful? Like, they already have Saquon, A.J., Devontae, a great offensive line. Like, it'd be a luxury to have for sure. But I like the tight end room they have now. I think an impact player on defense is far more worth trading up for.
Elliot. Now, I think this was your original question, but Giglio was talking about it today, trading the entire draft for Abdul Carter. Would you do it?
I would, yeah, for that exact argument. I also think the idea of the entire draft is a little, it sounds like it's more than it is. Like, they don't have a sixth-round pick. They don't have a seventh-round pick. Fifth-round picks.
They have
something
better. They have three fifth-round picks.
Yeah, they have three fifth-round picks, and you can find guys in the fifth round. But what I'm talking about trading all... Yeah,
find guys like Trent Cole, Brent Celek,
Ike Reese.
Yeah,
exactly. Great players.
Jalix Hunt.
Yeah.
He was a
third-rounder?
Yeah.
What's him called? Josh Sweat? What was he?
I think it's fourth-rounder.
Josh Sweat was fourth, I think.
Jason Kelce was a...
Sixth round pick.
Best sixth-round pick in NFL history.
Yeah.
You could, for sure.
Jalix Hunt, who you are very confident is going to play starter-level snaps... next year.
I feel really good about Jalix Hunt, for sure.
No, but I'm like, just saying the value of those picks, with the amount of holes they have.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not giving the picks away for free. What I'm doing is trading them for the best edge rusher in the class and someone that, when we just talked about the need for this team to have great players on low contracts, like Abdul Carter, I think, other than a quarterback, has the potential to be the best bargain in the draft from a production versus salary standpoint. So I'm basically just looking at it. Yeah, well, you know how I feel about him. We don't have to.
Oh, yes.
To get
you called him a bust.
But, yeah. No, he's not a bust. I just don't think he's going to be good on both sides, and he has to be good at one thing. But regardless, like, I think with Abdul Carter, I would absolutely trade like my first, second, third, and then they can have the fifths if that's what makes it happen.
And final question, Elliot. We got into a bit of a debate last hour about whether golf is a sport. I say no. What is your opinion on it?
So
I say it's a game.
Yeah, like, it's okay to say it's not a sport. That doesn't mean it's not hard. It's just not a sport. Like, it's a hobby. It's, like, a fun thing to do. And it's challenging at times, for sure. But it's not a sport. I think to be a sport, there has to be a team involved.
Well, tennis is a sport.
Right. So tennis and boxing.
Brilliant point.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're
no,
all.
No, you went to, you went to your guy.
I didn't want to ask him.
No, boxing's not a sport, Elliot. Is boxing a sport?
I will say I was much better in my boxing class this morning than I was last week, so I'm feeling better about it.
That has nothing to do with
it. Is it a sport?
No, it's an activity.
Boxing's not a sport.
It's a challenge. I think a team sport are the true sports. The other ones are hard. I'm not diminishing them, but why does it matter if they're not called a sport?
What about swimming? Individual swimming, gymnastics, ice skating.
All very challenging things. I just don't consider them sports. I think team sports are the true sports. Because I think
there could be different kinds of sports, Elliot. Doesn't mean it's not a sport.
Do you want my opinion on it?
I think it sucks.
Yeah, well, no surprise there. But I view only team sports as sports. That's just my opinion.
Wow. So, it's amazing.
Well, it is what it is. Yeah.
Thank you for asking.
Let me ask you this. Was my argument better or was Elliot's?
Yours.
Okay, I'll take that.
Your argument?
I'm going to tell you, both of those were equally bad.
Mine was that...
His is team and yours is...
Speed. Foot speed.
Foot speed isn't involved in golf. That's why it's not a sport.
Yes. You don't even have to be in good shape to play golf. Like, I don't know. It's a cool thing.
When's the last time you picked up a club?
Well, I've never played golf. But, if you just look at something...
Because he's a sports guy.
Yeah, he's
Yeah, exactly. I'm a team sportsman. Exactly.
Right.
I played soccer. I played a real sport.
Barely. Cut from your JVC.
Right.
No, I quit.
Elliot, when are the unions going to stop getting rid of their good players?
You don't got to tell me.
They've been doing this for a decade. What are they doing?
I'm fine with them getting rid of guys. Are we going to do union and
No. you can't. I'm sorry. Get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and it comes out every single day. It's in your feed when you wake up. A little 20 minutes, 30 minutes of Elliot every single day, no matter what's going on with the birds.
20 minutes or 30 minutes of Elliot, huh?
Yep.
Wow.
Exactly right. All the time.
That's a good sesh.
Yep. Well, I mean, especially with the draft coming up, Elliot does a lot of homework. I don't know if he's right or wrong. He definitely does a lot of homework. So,
well, I'll say this. It's definitely a sport. So 30 minutes with Elliot. So, you know.
Yes.
Especially after you win Eagles Insider of the Year.
That's exactly right.
There he is. Elliot Shorparks. Thank you, Elliot.
Alrighty.
There he is. Chuck in Mount Airy, you're on WIP.
Fellas, what's up, fellas? What's going on?
What up, Chuck?
What up, Chuck?
Let me say this, right? Spike, yesterday I heard you when I hung up the phone. You hung up on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't have to pivot to Joel Embiid.
My sports knowledge runs.
I did not.
Yeah,
you know
sure.
I mean, I don't have to do that when I'm talking about the Phillies and Bryce Harper. Okay.
But you said what happened was
and you hung up on me.
Well, you weren't having fun. What happened was you said as Bryce Harper goes, the Phillies go, and I said that Bryce Harper played really well in the playoffs last year, and they lost in four, and it doesn't work in baseball. And you yelled about Joel Embiid because you were stuck. That's really what happened.
No. You first said that, you know, the winning percentage is almost identical with
it
him
is.
And without him in the lineup.
It is.
He missed 99 games since he's been a Philly.
And yes, and those in games, those games.
Your argument would be contrary.
No. In the games where he hasn't played and the games where he has played, they have essentially the same winning percentage. That's not a negative Bryce thing. What it is it just shows that one player can't have the sort of effect that you're saying he has.
What I'm saying to you, if he played those games, the 162 games, they win 60 games, you know, alone without him. You know, I mean, those games count with him not being in the lineup. So that makes it look like, you know, basically, you know, they win without him.
I'm saying their winning percentage is the same. The percentage of games that they win.
So you're saying that basically with him not being in, missing 99 games, that does not screw those numbers.
No, I don't think you understand. In the games that Bryce plays, they win 57% of the games. In the games that Bryce doesn't play, they win 56% of the games.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go back for it.
Okay.
If you miss games, then you don't get credit. He won't get credit for the games that they played without him when they
win. Yes, of course.
That's what I'm saying to you. Okay, so if he played those games, then the numbers would be flipped. It would be. It looked like he have a way higher winning percentage with him in the lineup opposed to not being in the lineup.
No, I don't. I don't
he
think
you're 99 games.
I don't think you're understanding percentages. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I don't think you're understanding percentages.
It's not rocket science. You know what I mean?
You're the one who said it. Yeah. Okay. What would you call about?
I'm calling to say this, right? You know, the Eagles, they can stay packed. You know, they don't have to do anything. You know, they don't have to move up. I trust Howie Roseman's judgment to make great picks with the picks we have. We have a plethora of picks, okay? And the guys that he picked, they just stepped in and they start playing almost immediately. He's a better drafter now. We're Super Bowl champions. We don't have to be the team that move up, you know, 1,000 picks up to get a certain player. You know, I believe that he can identify talent now to where it's going later in the draft, like a Cooper DeJean. You know, Quinyani got, I think, the 20th pick. You know, you can get great players later on in the draft. This draft is deep enough where they don't have to move up and make panic moves to replace the players that's left. You know, I believe that this team is, we're the champions. Normally, champions don't have to do things like that because they have people in-house like Howie Roseman that can draft well. And I believe that he's going to pick players going forward that can contribute right away.
And he's going to move up. He's going to move up to get those guys. Why would you be opposed to moving up and getting? If a guy has a higher ceiling than another guy, it doesn't mean the other guy isn't a good player, but the other guy may be just a little bit better of a player. And the Eagles recognize that they have draft capital to have the ability to move up in the draft. I would say that's a smart move by a good football team, that they put themselves in position with the amount of picks that they acquired to go add supreme talent, not just another player and hope that he turns out to be a good player. You know, you mentioned Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. The Eagles were fortunate to be able to get both of them. Quinyon Mitchell should have been gone prior to him falling to the Eagles. He fell to the Eagles. They made a great pick. They got him.
DeJean, too.
DeJean was supposed to be a first-round draft pick. He didn't go off the board. The Eagles saw that. They were able to trade up, by the way. By the way, Chuck, they traded up to get Cooper DeJean in the second round. And that's a good move, right? That's a good move by the Eagles.
That's a wonderful move. I'm just saying they don't have to go out their way to do that. I mean, look, if you look at N'Kobe Dean, he fell to us, too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And he's, you know, a contributor on our defense. You know, what I'm saying is this. Sometimes
you don't have to be desperate. You're saying you don't have to be desperate.
Exactly. It comes to a point where you're not lucky. You're just good at what you do.
Okay.
And I think Howie Roseman has gotten better at drafting and identifying talent later in the rounds where he don't have to do all that to move up to get a great player. Now, if it's there for you, then obviously take it.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, you know, we're Super Bowl champions, and I don't believe we have to panic. You know, I think
we're
still good enough on paper to be in an NFC championship game next year. Who's challenging us? I mean, with the team we have right now.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what we look like when we get. I'm with you. I still think Eagles are the best team in the league. I agree with you. But let me ask you this. Listen, they got there, though, Chuck, last year. The Cooper DeJeans, the Quinyon Mitchells, the Jalix Hunts. Who else? They got Trotter late in the draft. They got there by making 8 trades last year during the draft. So, how we moved around the draft board last year to get these good players that we got last year.
Yeah, later.
Well, I'm just saying he did it is all I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, so in other words, when the opportunity is there to jump on it and do it, I hope the Eagles are aggressive and go get the player that they want.
Be opportunistic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm not giving up the entire draft to get Abdul Carter.
Oh, hell no. No, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, by a non-football.
And I like Abdul Carter, and I still wouldn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah, you got Abdul Carter. I mean, you got you know, Nolan Smith and Jalen Hunts, who's coming along. This is only their first and second season.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't think that you have to do that.
I agree.
Your whole draft to get one player. That's the stuff I'm talking about. Now, if you move around later in the draft, you identify talent, third round, second round, whatever the case may be. That's what Howie's been doing.
Right.
But I trust him to be able to make picks. You know, pick guys that can step in. I mean, he showed us that the last few years. He's able to do that. I mean, these picks that he picked, you know, these guys, you know, they fell to him. But they didn't just fall to him. I think it's a strategic, you know, science that Howie is doing, to where so Jalen's just falling. All these players aren't just falling to him.
Well, here's the other thing, Joe.
Will and Dylan later in the draft to get these players, and I trust him.
Well, and to your point, and we get you out of here. Even the players that failed to him, teams, when you overlook a player, you're saying there's something there that you don't like about the player, and that's why you're not drafting him. Well, the Eagles at least identified the talent in those players. Even if they fell to them, they still drafted them. Like, so you still get credit for not passing over a player that everybody like. Else is passing over that you like. So they still get credit for the guys that failed to them. Yeah, they get credit
absolutely.
For that.
Absolutely.
Chuck, do you have a rainy day movie before we got to go? Do you have a rainy day movie before we go?
I didn't get a chance to answer the next question from yesterday, but it would have been chicken and watermelon. How you like that, Jack?
Nailed it.
All right. Chuck's got to settle down on that stuff. Chuck sounds like he's taking that seriously.
No, just keep moving.
Okay.
Just keep
all right.
We talked about it.
The stock is going down. Yeah. It is what it is. All right. Coming up, a big segment coming up. We'll continue to talk to you about the NFL draft if you think the Eagles should move up aggressively. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, not only do we have Ike's Masters update, but Tornado Shapiro's slippery weekend forecast.
Speaking of a master.
Yep. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. The baseball is back. You can watch all the games at Chickies and Pete's. Find your local Chickies and Pete's at chickiesandpete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Big games, big events, always better at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. And one guy that knows a little about big things, Tornado Shapiro.
Thank you. I know. I love you, baby. You know it. You hear me?
Okay. Tornado, we're on the air.
I see you, baby. Come on. You're going to bring all the equipment.
Tornado, we're on the air. All
right. Here, fella. We got a rainy, wet one. Enjoy the dankness and the moisture. Luckily for the Fightins, they're going to miss most of it. I'll tell you more after a proper introduction. Come on.
Yes.
Yeah, you can meet me in St. Louis, first pitch, 8:15 Eastern. I got to tell you, in the late 90s, I worked down at WWWTF99.4 FM, the Knob. Granite City, Illinois, weather girl by the name of Wendy Nickers. Yeah, Wendy was a good show, unless she had Mexican at lunch. Watch out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she liked the rain, too. Real mutter. Come on.
All right. All right.
Full-figured gal. We nicknamed her the St. Louis Arch. I once went up to the arch, and I saw her gateway. She was a handful. I had to borrow vitamins from Mark McGuire to keep up with her. MLB had me on a watch list that year, but it was worth it.
Yeah,
cloudy and cool tonight. Light wind going down to 39 degrees. You better bring your own hot water bottle. I like my hot water with a little Tanqueray, but that's up to you. I'll tell you, the first time in St. Louis, down there, we took a tour of Anheuser-Busch. I was disappointed.
Wow.
All they had was beer. Hello. We toured the factory. It was me, Ike, McGuire, Yadier Molina, Rico Bronya, and longtime Cardinal announcer Jack Buck. I had the creatine salad. Cute tour guide by the name of Brianna Barley. I introduced Brianna to Bronya. She said, "Rico Bronya, just met you. Come on." I showed Brianna my hops. She showed me her malts. And we went behind one of the vats. The last thing I remember is Jack Buck screaming, "I don't believe what I just saw."
Oh, okay.
He spent a lot of time at Busch Stadium the summer of 98. I was dating a young Cardinal trainer by the name of Angie Tiger Baum. One night, she asked me if I wanted to try something different. I said, "Hell yeah." It was me, Tiger Baum, Sammy Sosa, Tim McCarver, and Mark Aguirre from DePaul. Long story short, I took a needle in the keister that night. All summer long, the St. Louis metro area was treated to the strongest, most powerful forecast tornado could muster up. I was hitting it out of the park every night. Even had one inside the park with Tiger. Craziest thing. About 20 years later, some skinny white guy came up to me in Chicago, gave me a big hug. He said he was Sammy Sosa. That must have been on the vape.
Okay.
Saturday afternoon, partly sunny, high all the way up to 62. We might get rain. We might get runs. Depends. Another time down in St. Louis, it was me, Ike, Willie McGee, Scott Rowland, and Les Chamberlain. We called him Les because his measurements were considerably less than Will Chamberlain. And that was confirmed. That was confirmed by a Channel 57 weather gal by the name of Anita Moore. She was always hoping Les would bring a little more lumber to the plate. Anita liked him. Well, she liked the big stick, and she did wonders with a fungo. So it was we were out at Busch. It was Wendy Nickers, Scott Rowland, Les Chamberlain. She had us, well, the stadium had us judging the ball girl tug of war contest. Now, Wendy took a liking to Roland. Even one of the greatest defensive third basemen in history couldn't fend off the advances of Wendy. She rolled in her co-workers, Misty, Sonny, and probably. That's when Roland knew he was in baseball heaven. Busch Stadium lived up to its name back then.
Oh.
Had a nice trim. Well, it's got a nice trim to it now, but back in the 80s, Busch was retro. Walking in that outfield was like walking through a wild jungle.
Okay.
And once they had the Hollywood night at Busch one night. They brought in the actual E.T., the extraterrestrial, lined them up next to Willie McGee. The crowd couldn't tell the difference. E.T. ended up with two infield hits. Willie McGee had to deal with annoying kids, wanted to touch his finger.
Oh, no. Willie McGee did sort of look like E.T. Are we going to get a forecast at some point here?
Hey, your weekend is shot, friend. I hope you like clouds, chance of sun, but not much. So I dab a little sunblock on there, and we're going to get some temperature. Sunday high of 65% of precip. Make it a 50-50 call in the rain there. Don't take a chance. Bring a sun umbrella and a wet umbrella. You heard it here first. It's Tornado Shapiro. You can book it. How about a little melody now? Did you line up my music yet? And there are no,
there's no music. There's no pictures either. The guy, it's going to be cloudy and rainy all weekend.
Yeah.
Why are we why are we putting sunblock on?
Well, just it's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
You never know.
The guy made me nervous the entire time.
There's a lot going on in that car.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
There's a lot going on in that car.
The Bush Stadium and the hedges and the...
Yeah.
By the way, the first radio station you worked for, 99.4. There are no .4s.
No?
Yeah.
In Granite City, Idaho, is that what he said?
Yeah, the guy...
The knob.
I think the guy might be making up the entire career, to be honest with you.
I don't think so.
We're a little late, but the Masters continues to move. And our...
Yeah. Jesus. Jesus, it's not the Indy 500. To dial it down a little bit back there, Buzz.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's Spike's fault.
That was Spike?
That's my fault?
Well, just he had Buzz on the edge.
Okay.
Oh,
never mind.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, it's all good. All right.
To the scoreboard.
Oh,
Augusta. Oh, yeah. I told you the last hour. Listen, Justin Rose steals lead. By one, minus eight, DeChambeau has gone up and down and now back up to second place.
Please lower your voice.
You're right. At 7-under. I tell you, Rory McIlroy finished up pretty strong today, still with the lowest round of the day at 6-under. He shot a 66. He started the day off at even. He's up to minus six and sitting in third place alone right now. A couple other notables at the top of the leaderboard. Shane Lowry. Corey Connors, see what he looks like on the back nine here. And the world's number one golfer, Scottie Scheffler, is still hanging in there. Listen, he hasn't had a big stretch yet, but you know what? The thing about Augusta, you can't win it on Friday. You can lose it on Friday. Scottie Scheffler, two-time winner, he knows this. Sitting right now at minus five, just three strokes off the lead, only one under on the day. Scottie Scheffler will have something to say about who wins this. In the end, this is really shaping up to be a great weekend in Augusta.
You guys,
I can't wait.
It's you guys are going to be locked in. I mean, I'm sorry. You guys are going to be locked in.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
And although we all chose different things to watch on a rainy day like this.
Oh, the golf.
You know what I didn't put out there is the Masters.
Because
that's what I'll be watching this weekend. Yeah. Saturday and Sunday as we are rained in all weekend.
Yes.
I can't wait to sit on the couch and watch the Masters.
There you go.
Yes.
There is your Masters update.
We finally got the whispering close.
Yes.
Yes.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark. It's very hard to transition from the Masters.
You almost got to just yell. You just get one out.
Well, here's the other thing. We come in from a break and coming off of Shapiro, I got to go down all the way to my Barry White voice.
Now I got to bring it back up.
Yeah.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is looking for artisans who are detail-oriented and have a passion for making people's dreams come true. Apply online at marks-jewelers.com. The Twitter question is golf a sport? What do you think the responses are, Ike, on is golf a sport?
Yes.
What do you think the percentages are?
I'll go 73%. Yes.
78%.
Hey, there you go.
Now, I will say there are people fighting in the replies about it. As the
it's Cowboy Jim.
The people who say no are angering the people who say yes. So sometimes I like just watching people fight online when I'm not involved in it.
Yeah. And you like to see the world burn.
Yeah,
I do.
I was going to say, you lit the fire and now you're watching it.
Yes, yeah. Then I just sort of walk, light it and walk away, buddy. 215-592-9494. Our draft expert himself, OK Andrew, you're on WIP.
He's back with another prospect?
No, every day.
What it do, okay.
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, Andrew?
Hey, I got to be talking to Ike here about my draft analysis because, granted, he is the only player that has played at the top level, so he'll understand what we're talking about instead of, ew, he's too old.
Wow. Shots fired.
Wow, he took a shot at you there, Jack.
Yeah. That was strictly to see if I can get a rise out of Ike because he was a little bit older when he got drafted.
Wow.
Yep.
So, our prospect today is another SEC edge rusher, a guy who will definitely be there at 32, and his name is Nick Schwartzen.
Nick Schwartz?
20 years old.
He's Schwartzen.
Born in 2004, which is crazy. And he's an edge rusher for A&M, runs a 4.740, had double-digit tackles for loss the previous 2 years, and he had double-digit sacks from the best conference in the world, the Big Ten, 2 years ago. He was all SEC first team, and he's a monster. I think that he's very similar to a little Karloftis, NFL quick twitch. He's great in pass rushing down. He can play all three downs. It's going to be a bit of a project. Not day one starter, but a little Jalen Hunt, Nolan Smith type of guy. He's quick with his hands. He's great. He gets to the outside edge on pass rushing easily. He's able to shoot inside on run gaps.
Yeah.
The only thing is about him is he gets a little overpowered by the double teams and gets washed out down the line. I know I can play defense in your lifetime, and he is
great. And I even played defensive end.
Well,
he's good at getting hands on, showing hands, and then splashing over having the offensive line commit before he makes his move. So I think he's a great value. At he's fallen into the second round on some, but he'll definitely be there at 32 as a guy that I think can make a big difference in this league.
What's his name?
Nick Scouten.
Nick Scoutner?
Scouton.
Scout.
Yeah, that's a tough okay. name.
Scorton.
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 Scorton. There you go. All right, okay. Well, that's a good pick again. You think he's a 30, yeah. You think 32? He'll be there, right?
He'll be there. His partner in crime, the guy across, I forget his name, but another edge rusher.
Shamar Stewart.
Shamar Stewart. And he doesn't have great production last year, but, I mean, apparently he's a freak athletically. I also think Scorton is, and I think he's great value for the talent he possesses. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, okay, Andrew, another good player. Good players will certainly be there for the Eagles if they're looking for him at that 32nd spot. Should be there. It'll be interesting to see what type of run goes on the defensive ends, especially as you get later in that first round. The thing with this kid and why it's another good scouting report from OK Andrew is that the Eagles have actually had this kid in.
Oh, he's one of the guys they talked to.
He's one of their visits that the Eagles have brought in. So, yeah, I think I saw a picture with him with Brandon Graham recently.
Yeah.
Somewhere. So he was either here yesterday or the day before. But, yeah, so if the Eagles bring you in as a visit and would use you as one of their top 30 visits, they certainly are interested in you.
They care. Okay, for next question, you got a rainy day movie?
I got one more thing, one more statement. It's funny you guys were debating over Tyler Warren and Abdul Carter. I wonder where they went to college. Great college, but Mike,
man.
You're an idiot for saying golf is not a sport. So, but movie is Moneyball.
Moneyball. I think
Moneyball is a good rainy day movie. Oh, yeah, it's a good rainy movie.
Yeah, Moneyball just pisses me off because it doesn't even mention Mulder, Zito, Rich Harden, Miguel Tejada.
It's a movie.
But it's just like, oh, my God, Scott Hatterberg.
It's right. A movie. They needed
and Giambi.
But even the premise of the book, I mean, congratulations. You signed Chad Bradford. You signed Scott Hatterberg.
No.
Jeremy Giambi was one of his big moves. He got an RIP.
It's a movie.
But he got cut in the middle of the season.
By the way, another great Brad Pitt performance.
It is. It's probably his best role.
Wow.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
What's he better at?
Well, Brad Pitt's got a lot of great roles. I would say my favorite Brad Pitt role is Tyler Durden in Fight Club. But he's got a lot of – I would say it's a good role. Brad Pitt as Billy Bean.
It's probably his most well-known role.
Well, it's definitely not his most well-known role.
Who's to say?
215-592-9494. Thomas, actually, no. I want to see how this goes. Richie in Philly, you're on WIP.
Mama me. You're going to make me eat my dinner late tonight. Skip.
Skip,
Oh, there we go.
Ike, Skip, and Fred.
All to a good start.
Yeah.
Listen to me. My best friend in crew, when I was a kid in college, he passed away, but he was a sports, brilliant sports guy. And I'm agreeing with you, Spike. Now, listen to his qualifications, why he did not consider golf a sport. And, Ike, you're going to have to admit it's good, okay, Ike, when I hear tell it to you?
Okay.
He says, I cannot consider any game a sport where no defense is played. Think about that, right?
The course is defense.
Boxing is defense, right? You know what I'm saying? Tennis, there's no defense in golf.
The course is the defense.
Right? You like that, right? Like, take it.
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
What about swimming? What's the defense in swimming?
It's not a sport.
It's why? Why?
As long as he has the same rules all the
swimming
time.
Swimming is a – whatever.
But you don't agree with that, though. You know swimming is a sport.
It's an interesting –
I've got a movie for you.
I would consider it. Hold on. We'll let you give your movie. I don't agree with him. However,
Hang on.
But if you're going to keep that same definition for all of them, if you're also going to say swimming's not a sport, then it's a It's a good argument if that's how you're going to define it. I don't agree with it because I think swimming is a sport. But if you're holding to it and saying, like, sprinting isn't a sport, and now there's no defense in tennis, though there is opposition. There's not defense, but I think it's close enough. So you don't think running is a sport?
I don't think running is a sport.
Running.
I guess according to his definition, but he just liked the way he said.
No, I'm asking you with no defense. How about track and field? Is that a sport?
Well, it depends. You know, some runners they kind of like box.
I'm asking you about track and field.
Yeah.
What kind of track and field?
Anything.
Any of it.
The discus.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, the javelin. The,
right.
The long jump. The 400.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The 400.
I think real quick before I go.
This is going
I got a great profit for you guys tonight. Great.
Okay.
I've been 2-for-2 so far.
Okay.
Home run. I know what the odds are tonight. Home run. Mark is down. Richie from South Philly, okay?
Okay.
Predicting, what's his name? Max Kepler.
Oh, Kepler run. Home run. These guys love betting Kepler.
Kepler home run. Yep.
Okay.
And I got a rain. Is it a
rainy day
rain
movie?
Well,
not
singing
happy.
Yeah,
sure.
Singing in the rain.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's a movie
Gene
with
Kelly,
rain in it.
52.
Gene Kelly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like Richie in South Philly. By the way.
Yeah.
I like him. He was holding to it.
Completely wrong. Well,
then he stopped holding.
He wilted.
To it.
Yeah.
He moved the goalpost real quick.
Yeah.
How long? Richie in South Philly seems like one of those South Philly guys that have just lived here forever.
Yes, I would imagine so.
Those and are the best ones.
Everybody on his block knows him.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's my Philadelphia.
Yeah. You make fun of me when I say that I lived here, but
yes.
It in South Philly is I actually felt like a fraud because of the number of people on my block who had been there for so long.
Right.
And I was renting. I didn't even own my
place. Oh, well, they knew you weren't from the neighborhood.
They definitely knew I wasn't from the neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah, they knew that.
That's why I moved back to Westchester.
One of the funniest things about living there is the good thing is when you come home and if there's somebody that's been outside your house for a while, your neighbor goes, hey, there's somebody outside your stoop so-so. Mm-hmm. But then I realize if they're watching them, then they're also watching me. So they're watching everything is what I learned. All right, 215-592-9494. We're less than 2 weeks away from the Eagles draft. Do you want them to be aggressive and move up in the draft aggressively, or do you just want them to hold on to their picks? 215-592-9494. You do have an opportunity, however, to see the great Joe Conklin.
And some of his buddies like Tornado Shapiro.
Yes, sir.
Check him out at St. Matt's in Conshohocken on Saturday, April 26th. Now, it's benefiting the Plymouth White Marsh baseball team. You know where you can get your tickets at, right, Fritzy?
JoeConklin.com?
JoeConklin.com!
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.